Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On a Tuesday, feeling really good, and I'm not the one getting laid tonight. Felt like that was last night.
How about the NFL, boys?
Well, it is what it is, right? In the NFL, and everybody writing off the Chiefs 2 weeks ago, and now everybody's 4-2 or 3-3 in the entire league, right? Who's standing out to you in the NFL right now?
Chiefs.
That's it. Not honest us. To God.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody.
Yeah. Like who's standing out? Yell it from the back. It's the Chiefs. It's the only team that stands out now in the NFL. Real sidebar.
Oh, McDermott got new glasses.
Yeah, I was going to say, are those fake?
Yes.
Because I was watching it last night, the halftime interview. Is he sporting fake glasses on the sidelines?
Oh, I was roasting him.
If so, are they fake? Where were you roasting him? At your home? In the living room with Hannah? Look at the fake glasses!
My brother-in-law. Roast. I was like, dude, what the hell is this guy doing?
Thought the same thing.
We stopped our conversation and go, what is he doing?
Hey, it's a trend.
No, it's stupid. It really is. Fake glasses are dumb, lame, and ridiculous.
It was a trend in 2012 for hipsters, for like 25-year-old hipsters 10 years ago. McDermott is not that.
Well, guys on TV are going back to the glasses.
Oh, yeah,
now,
I guess I have seen that.
And,
yep.
You know, some of that for
so
cosmetic
the glasses
looks.
Are to hipsters as... never mind. That was interesting. I looked at it last night and said, okay, McDermott.
Yeah, she wearing this fake glasses?
Sure the hell ain't letting you keep an eye on that defense.
I mean, remember Bobby Valentine more than the nose and the mustache and the glasses when he got kicked out of a game. That's Sean McDermott pulling his Bobby Valentine out there with the fake glasses. That looks ridiculous,
I know
man.
That you don't get that reference, and no. I would love for you to just
Google
search.
He doesn't
search.
Get that reference, does he?
I would love for you. I'll YouTube when we do our post-production meeting because we don't really need to hear what Spectre has to say.
I forgot we had that.
Yeah, Tuesdays. It's like a C block before your Tuesday night.
Yeah.
We call it an S block.
Mm-hmm.
So Valentine for the Mets at the time gets ejected from a game. Bobby Valentine, being the colorful character that he was, went somehow. Don't know how he had the Halloween.
Why? Yeah, that's right.
How he had the Halloween Mr. Potato Head face in the clubhouse. He goes in. It's the mustache, nose, and fake and glasses.
Yeah.
Puts it on and just sits in the dugout.
The
umpire literally just looks over and goes, are you kidding me? Respect, but get the hell out of here.
It's one of the all-timers. I mean, it really
grown-ass
is.
Grown-ass man. Yeah. Like, young 60, probably like mid-50s at the time.
Oh, he was probably younger than me at that time, where I am right now at 48, 49 years old. I guarantee you Bobby Valentine was probably younger than that at this point in time.
One of the most hilarious things
ever. That's hilarious.
Oh, it's so good. It was fantastic. So that's what I thought of last night. I'm like, Bobby Valentine is now coaching the Buffalo Bills on the sidelines. And based on what we saw, Bobby Valentine probably would have done a better job than Sean McDermott did last night. And it was just, you know, you guys know I've not been a believer in Buffalo since week one, and watching that defense go out there and do their thing yesterday, to me, it was more about the offense not being able to do anything for the Buffalo Bills. All world Josh Allen, Superman Josh Allen, married to Haley Steinfeld Josh Allen. Oh my God, Josh Allen is the greatest quarterback of all time. Unless he's not, because he's not. And if he was, he would have done better than what he did last night. I didn't think the Buffalo Bills on either side of the ball were anything where I've got to get alarmed about. Now New England's in first place in that division ahead of the Buffalo Bills.
Hell
today,
yeah.
Right?
Love it.
2 weeks ago, I believe this mouth praised out and said, take Patrick Mahomes as the MVP. He is plus 1,000. Update! As of October 14th, 2025, your MVP odds stand is this. Patrick Mahomes plus 185, Josh Allen plus 300, Baker Mayfield plus 350.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised Baker Mayfield didn't take the lead this week based on everybody bloviating about Baker Mayfield all week long. Like, who didn't say Baker Mayfield was their MVP this week? Every show you turned on, every talking head, every announcer in the booth was saying Baker Mayfield, Baker Mayfield, Baker Mayfield. Hi, my name's Patrick. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to have a day against the Detroit Lions. Oh God, Patrick's still here. Patrick's like that cool kid that walks into school and steals all your girls, right? Hits exactly what he's doing right now in the NFL. He's stealing it from everybody right now. And they're all looking at him and going, please, Mr. Mahomes, don't take this one from me. Please don't. And Patrick's like, I got this.
It does make me feel kind of dirty supporting the fact that Mahomes is the MVP, because we're having the same exact argument that we had last year with Josh Allen, right? Baker Mayfield is 5-1. Baker Mayfield is down to his fifth and sixth wide receiver. Now, that just started this week, so I know he had a Puka basically all the way up until like halftime of this game, but still,
but still
a rookie wide receiver, no Evans, no Godwin,
no
Bucky Irving, and the way that he's willing that team is MVP caliber. And now all of a sudden, Mahomes, who's 3-3, so like us, Vegas and the national media are saying that that 3-3 record is a mirage of what the team really is. They've been without Rashee Rice. Xavier Worthy's been hurt. So I guess that evens the playing field. I don't know. Mahomes has basically done what Baker has done, right? Baker does it in a more, I want to say, like in a crash test dummy way. Like the way Mahomes kind of wills his way looks more clean, whereas Baker, he's like bouncing around in the pocket, scrambling. He's a little bit smaller of a guy, and then stretches, gets it, gets up, and rah-rah. So it's like, it's more flamboyantly obvious that Baker is like willing himself, if that makes any sort of sense.
Yeah, yeah. But it looks more of like a car crash where Patrick Mahomes looks like a smooth limo pulling up.
But
you know?
Have the same argument we had last year, where we're like, well, Burrow should have been the MVP. He put up the numbers. He was a stud. He's obviously that team's most valuable player. They're not even close to the record, even though they weren't a winning team. And you look at what one of the main factors is for MVP. It's like, are you winning your division? Is your team successful? And are you putting up numbers? Well, the Chiefs aren't winning their division. They don't have a winning record, but Mahomes put up numbers. Baker's put up numbers very similar to Patrick Mahomes. They're winning that division, and he's, you know, putting up the numbers as well. So, I mean, you look at it, but also you could then compare the AFC West to the NFC South.
Yeah.
I don't know. Atlanta looks good. They don't look terrible.
It's not the gap that I think we thought it was going to
be. Well, it's not. Carolina's a lot better than I thought they were going to be.
Said that a couple weeks ago.
At 3-3, I still don't buy Carolina right now, but they're better. I'm surprised they're 3-3. Like, if you ask me what the biggest shock of the season is, it's Carolina being 3-3. It's not the Chiefs being 3-3 or the Jets being 0-6. We all saw that coming.
I'd say the Ravens are probably up
there. The Ravens are, the Ravens are 100% up there.
That's probably my biggest shock of, like, you told me, like, 1-5 and John Harbaugh could be seeing the door. What happened?
Are they still going to win the North, do you think, the Ravens?
I don't think so.
He said if they lost this week, he's taking that take into the trash.
You're out on that one.
Lamar Jackson's gone. I'm still not out on them making the playoffs because it's Lamar. He's won 80% of his games. Like,
and that's
I know, but how do you get it back after you're 1-5? You know,
you got to run the table.
Yeah, you do.
And you got to hope Pittsburgh falters.
Exactly. And eventually you run out of time, right?
Totally.
You just, the time is up and it's over and it's time to move on to next season. The John Harbaugh Harbaugh thing, though, is very, very interesting to me, because I do think it's time for him to march out the door there, just because it's been a long time and it's time for a new voice. You're sitting at 1-5. I mean, if I'm the Jets right now, I would fire Aaron Glenn in a heartbeat and hire John Harbaugh. I mean, he would be a hot commodity out there.
If I'm John Harbaugh, that number comes in as scam likely.
Yeah, right. No, that's
no way I'm picking up that phone call. Sorry. That's where you go to die.
No, that's like major league. At least you could have told me you were from the Yankees and hang up the phone. I mean, like, you know, that's the situation. But like,
the position's been filled.
Yeah, by who? Nobody, but not you. I would like to say, if I was the Jets right now, I would be already working the back channels with John Harbaugh, trying to find out, look, is this going to be the end? Are we going to need to move on? Because they're going to need to move on from Aaron Glenn. And we'll talk about him coming up in my Boneheads in about 2 hours from now. But
wrong.
I mean, this guy is, I don't know that I've ever really truly seen a football coach that is so overmatched and so out over his skis and so in the wrong position.
He just got fired in Tennessee.
No, this one is,
was he 4-19?
Four games. Aaron Glenn's biggest moment is strutting on the sidelines after thinking they won a game.
Yeah, it was kind of sick. It
was cool in the moment.
That was it, though. But that was it. They've done nothing
terrible
since then. And so if you're the Jets, you're calling Baltimore and Harbaugh are doing back channel stuff, trying to find out if that's a situation where he's going to be fired. And if he is, you got to move on from Aaron Glenn. That guy sucks.
I think the Jets need to kind of do what Philadelphia did. I think they need to get someone that's kind of like their own. Rex Ryan was that guy. Right? Attitude, red ass, loud, could handle that media. Sirianni, hate him or love him, he's perfect for Philly.
He really is. Yeah, he is a perfect heel for Philly.
If you can find somebody, I don't know who that is, that can be like New York roots and can handle that sort of grown up with that sort of like mentality of like, yeah, it doesn't matter what these clowns say. I'm from Manhattan. Like, I'll stick through it. I don't care. Like, we're going to do this. Like, I think that would work. They haven't had that. Adam Gase guy, he was dead at the right.
They haven't had that guy since Parcells was the coach of the Jets. I think
Rex did okay.
Rex didn't know football, though. That's the interesting thing right now that you're finding out. He did.
No, that's huge.
And he knew how to play the media, and he knew how to do all the rah-rah stuff, which was great. But Rex Ryan's football knowledge is no better than my 15-year-old daughter's, and all she cares about is Swift.
He knew Mark Sanchez could put up a fight.
Did he get arrested this weekend, too, Mark Sanchez? Did you see him, the perp walk out of the jail? He's not looking good. Nope. But all that stuff, man, like, this guy just got drunk and started wailing on people. I mean, like, this is all on Mark. I mean, this is all on Mark Sanchez. That poor dude was just trying to do his job and go home for the night, and you get attacked by a backup quarterback, you know?
69-year-old
like,
truck driver trying to replace restaurant-owned hotel oil.
Yeah. And did you ever see that done, by the way, when you were at the restaurant, like, when they would come in and do that? That's not a good job, right?
It's not fun.
It's awful. We used to have to empty the grease trap and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, it's awful.
Every night, the Friars at Jackstack got empty. It was brutal. You came out looking like you were lubed up. You're like, where do I go now? Not to 14th and Prior. Stay away from that. No, it's just, it's not a fun job. But not a fun job is doing the numbers of what Buffalo and the Kansas City Chiefs are anti-similar to. The Buffalo Bills have 4 wins this year,
right?
That's
right, yeah.
Uh-huh. Their combined opponent's record is 3-21.
Yeah, their winning percentage right now, our friend Matt Derrick tweeted it out, and so I always give him a shout-out because I spilled his coffee and ruined his computer.
Well, you spilled your
coffee and ruined his. That's right, yeah. My coffee ruined his computer. The Bills right now, entire strength of schedule through last night is 286.
Mm-hmm. And their winning percentage over those teams is 143. So that's not great. Their losses come against two teams that have a combined record of 7-5. The Chiefs' losses against three teams have a combined record of 16-6, and their wins combined 7-11. Baltimore's really kind of
really screwing everybody.
Down. But again, that's what the NFL is. Look, I went on the record and said that the Chiefs were not going to win the AFC West after the Chargers went 3-0 and beat 3 AFC West teams. Whoops. What we know, I said it last night on the X sphere. What we know is the AFC is wide open. The MVP front runner is hitting his stride, which is Patrick Mahomes. If you think that's a bad take, you can go to Vegas and get mad at them because they're the ones that have Mahomes as the favorite to win the MVP. Not only that, Rashee Rice is back in the building. And this offense is rolling.
And their offense is rolling. Yeah.
And the Raiders come to town. So you kind of get a preseason game to get ready for the next two big ones, which are Washington. And then we get to have, again, another year where the number one seed could possibly be on the line once again when the Chiefs play Buffalo in the regular
season.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I'm not
a... buckle up, boys.
It's going to be great on Sunday.
The NFL has officially began, and the Chiefs are at an even slate.
It's moving day now, right? We're 6 weeks into this season. We kind of have an idea of what things are, what things aren't, who's good, who's not good. The Chiefs are the best team in this league right now, and I think this is going to be the week where they go out there and they show it too offensively. I think they're going to want to let, you know, clean out the Jets a little bit, so to speak, and go out there and, you know, put up 40, put up some big number that they haven't been able to accomplish in a very long time. I'm excited to watch this team on Sunday because I think it is going to be one of those great offensive displays that we haven't seen in quite some time, and I'm not in on Washington either. They do nothing for me. That coach, Dan Quinn, I mean, every time I look at him, he loses a game. I mean, again, last night. I mean, you have a big lead in that game. You got to find a way to win that game, and they didn't win that game. And I don't know. Washington does nothing for me. I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants won that division. I mean, you buy in Dallas right now. Philadelphia just had a guy retire yesterday. He was tired of this crap. He's getting out. You mentioned, you know, A.J. Brown potentially getting traded to Buffalo or something like that.
Why would they bail on him?
No, I mean, that's what I say. Like, I'm not buying Philly. Dallas is a hunk of mess. I'm not in on Washington at all. I know the Giants are 2-4, but who's playing more for their quarterback right now than anybody in that division? It's the Giants. Jackson Dart is, I mean, it's amazing what
they have
a quarterback
the most momentum.
Can do. They have a lot of momentum right now. We'll see if they can continue that momentum. I'm not sitting here saying that guarantee they're going to win the division, but nobody in that division is really popping right now. The Eagles can't score, man.
Say what you want about the Giants. We're all Giants fans this weekend. They take on the Denver Broncos.
That's right.
So there's Jackson Dart and Scadaboo's first test against a defensive front that is electric.
And then you got to go with the Giants defense against, you know, Denver's offense, which is what you were saying in before the show, Dusty. You don't think they're very good offensively. I don't think any of us do.
Nope.
I don't trust
it. Not exciting.
I don't trust it. One thing I do trust is that it's Tuesday, which means the library opens up in about 15 minutes. Plus, we get into some more stuff from last night. A paycheck that's coming in the mail for a guy from Detroit. And the Chiefs being back on board here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear from ESPN's Nate Taylor every Thursday at 8:20, right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Coming up in about 9 minutes, we'll get into the library. There was another game last night as well. By the way, Bijan Robinson going back should have been number one overall pick in Fantasyland.
I mean, that guy right now is unbelievable, right?
University of Texas.
That's where the Chiefs need to go in the draft. Find that next
guy.
Yeah.
Wow, I'd love that.
Okay, yeah. See,
go get him. You. Get him.
Hey, remember that time when the 49ers drafted that kicker in the third round?
Yeah.
Hey, game winner last night.
Game winner last night for another team.
I still can't believe they took a guy in the third round.
Yeah, that's Jake nuts. Browning was his name or Moody. Whatever it was. Moody. Jake Moody.
Out of Michigan.
Who the hell was Jake Browning? Why do
the
I know that
Bengals
name?
Bengals quarterback.
Okay, yeah.
It was the Bengals quarterback.
Rocket
of a lady.
Can everybody get somebody to support them like Mike Tomlin supports Joe Flacco, please? Can we get somebody to support you I love Mike Tomlin, and he's like he's just all in ripping the Browns, man.
I'm tired of y'all already. Ripping the Browns and ripping his own media.
Yeah.
But you can do that when you have that respect.
Exactly. And people look at him and he's earned that, right?
It gave me a lot of like Raj vibes from Lethal Weapon. I'm too old for this play. I'm gonna retire. Lethal Weapon 5. Raj, what are you doing here?
I've had enough of this. Tomlin's going to lead his team to another division championship. Maybe he goes to the Jets at the end of the season. Yeah, God, that's a bad job.
I'm telling you, man. Like you gotta hire. I mean, literally, go hire Fireman Fred.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you just hire that guy.
Because if he gets fired, who cares? If he wins, you got a 30-for-30 coming up in about 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That job sucks.
It really does. I mean, it's a bad job with no quarterback. You're the second fiddle in town, and that's just on the football side of things. And you're looked at as a loser. I mean, you really are. Like, it's going to take somebody big to go in there and change that thing around.
Hire Vinny Pasquantino.
Yeah, might as well, right?
I mean, he's a mouthpiece in the Royals locker room. He'd be great for the New York media.
He'd be perfect for the New York media.
Bijan Robinson last night, we call him the Mustard Man. We don't, but that's what I call him because it's kind of similar to Dijon. You get it. But no, he was awesome last night.
He was great last night, yeah.
Solidified himself as RB1 in the NFL last night. If you 100%. Disagree, then that's fine, but you're going to find a little short list of people that agree with you.
I,
but he's,
I,
He's that dude.
He was fantastic last night.
Like 81-yard touchdown run, couldn't bring him down.
Awesome.
Juking people left and right. He's had like 150 yards rushing in the first half.
He's going to set the record for yards from scrimmage overall. I mean, it's been wild. You know, he's underrated, undervalued, underappreciated because he plays in Atlanta. You know, and a lot of people don't pay attention to the Falcons. Right? There's not a lot of national TV games, but I heard somebody last night. It may have been Lou Riddick. It may have been Orlovsky or whatever. They said he's the best player in the NFL right now. And I find that hard to say that a running back is the best player, or really any position other than the quarterback is the best player in the NFL, because they have such a major impact on that game. But if you're removing quarterbacks from the conversation, you could start with Bijan Robinson if you want. I mean, the guy's dynamic. It's not like you can just find that guy. And I'm being kind of facetious when I say go get that guy, because there aren't a lot of those guys out there. He does stuff that's special and different and unique that a lot of guys just don't possess. You'd love to get half a Bijan Robinson type of talent here in Kansas City, or whoever team you root for, to have at your running back spot. He's really, really special, but he's unique. He's different. He's out there odd. You know, he's not a dime a dozen type guy. That's why they're so special and hard to find, because they are so good and so rare to find guys like that.
And they have two of them. Tyler Algier is really damn good.
Yeah, they got a little thunder lightning there.
Yeah,
they got
a 30-yard touchdown yesterday.
Oh, yeah, opening drive.
Yep, better than any running back we
have. Do you like
here.
This comp? I don't know if he's as big, but John Robinson gives me a lot of Jamal Charles vibes.
Yeah, I get that. I'm in on that.
Bigger. Yeah, I think he's bigger. Both Texas running backs.
Man. Run smooth.
Yeah, he just kind of glides.
And how many times do we see Charles, you know, tiptoe along the sideline, some guy's ready to clean his clock, and he just kind of moves out of the way but doesn't take the big hit, right? It was a non-contact injury that was the first injury for Jamal Charles. The ACL injury, right?
Yeah.
And Bijan Robinson can kill you in the screen game or the short pass game and then go wherever.
Yes.
What did Jamal Charles do in the pass game?
Yeah, 100%. He did.
They just seem similar, because you mentioned things where it's like, well, he's a dime a dozen. He's different. Like, I mean, to me, the most dynamic running back in Chiefs franchise history is Jamal Charles.
And you say that, and I'll say he'll go down as one of the most underappreciated players in franchise history. And the reason why, you're absolutely right about that. He was averaging 5.2 insane number of you know, yards per carry that he had, right? I think he still has that record, if I'm not mistaken by that, but, you know, I haven't looked in a while.
Him, Jim Brown, and someone else.
Yeah. I don't know if recently somebody passed Jamal Charles. Like, I don't know if it was Christian McCaffrey or something. Either way, Jamal was outstanding, but I think he'll go down as one of the most underrated and underappreciated and really forgotten guys in Kansas City Chiefs history, because he was there right before it got good, right? Like, he was the Derek Johnson of the offense almost, right? DJ was all those years great on defense, team got good, he aged out of the NFL, and that's kind of Jamal Charles. And, you know, no offense to the younger generation, but there's a lot of kids that are in their teens and early 20s that probably don't even know who Jamal Charles is at this point in time, because they just woke up and they realized, holy cow, I'm 13 years old and it's 2018, right? And that's the first real memories that I have of sports. You don't really remember much before that, right? And so Jamal Charles, I think, for a lot of new, younger Chiefs fans, is a figment of their imagination that their old man was telling them about. And so Jamal Charles, man, what was the last time he played? 15? For the Chiefs, right? 15?
Oh, for the Chiefs, yeah.
15, and they played that 1 year in Denver in 16, right?
In the last week of the season.
Right.
He needed like 80 yards for his $1 million incentive. They're like, you're inactive.
You're inactive today, right?
Richards.
And so it's been 10 years since Jamal Charles played here in Kansas City, guys. And we still go back to him as like this bell cow running back, because we really haven't had anybody as dynamic since Jamal Charles. And that was that gap where the running back position was basically dead from the neck up in the NFL. And now you're starting to see kind of that resurgence in this league. And Jamal Charles right now, you know, if he was 10 years younger, boy, he'd be in an unbelievable fit right now. 15 years younger, actually. He'd be an unbelievable fit in this offense right now and where this team is. I mean, imagine adding a dynamic running back to all of the wide receivers and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes like Jamal Charles, if you could just insert him in. But I mean, the further we move along, the more and more people are going to realize how good Jamal was. But I think it's becoming more of an imaginary thing for a lot of people that didn't even know how good Jamal Charles
was.
I mean, if you're 26, right, 27, right? Yep. So let's say, for
my favorite chief of all time,
right?
So be careful.
But 10 years ago, you were 17. You're right there. You're in your sports years. That's your formative sports years.
Yeah. Oh, Mac might have peaked early at like 6.
maybe, but I mean, take a kid who's 10 years old then.
Right. Who's
now in his 20s. He don't remember Jamal Charles playing for the Chiefs
at
all, you know?
And
that was yesterday.
You might say Jameer Gibbs gives you that vibe as well.
For sure.
Vibes like Jamal Charles.
For sure.
That's why, like, when, you know, Gibbs and Robinson went in the draft, I was like, damn, dude. This is it. This is the way.
So good.
I mean, Detroit had DeAndre Swift, and they're like, that guy. And then DeAndre Swift's like, it's been real, Detroit. Remember that? That was draft night in Kansas City.
That was KC.
And I'm like, damn, they took a running back that early, because we're all like, oh, running backs, you know, you never take a running back early. Those two you do.
Yeah.
you do. There are exceptions to every rule, right? Yeah. You see guys like that, you're like, yeah, I'll take that guy a little bit early, right?
That's why the Chiefs will never get a chance at that guy.
And that's the other thing. I mean, people want to criticize a lot of times about, you know, what the Chiefs do and what they're picking 29, 30, 31, 32. I'll take that every day of the week. If at all in the first round. There's another thing. I mean, they've traded first round picks for a quarterback and a pretty good wide receiver, too. I mean, so, you know, there haven't been a lot of opportunities for the Chiefs to truly strike in that first round. So, you know, I'll take 29, 30, 31, 32 every day of the week and miss out on running backs because we're playing deep into January every single year.
Jamal Charles played on Jacksonville for 2 games after Denver.
No, he did not.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. I knew there was something. Yeah, 6 carries, 7 yards.
When was that? What year?
2018, two games for
2018.
Jacksonville.
Some people don't even know that he played for the Jaguars.
I had no idea that he played for Jacksonville. I don't remember those years
at all. I mean, he didn't really. It was two games.
But you would have remembered, like, that's right. I remember he was there for a hot minute or something. Yeah. Do you remember that?
I knew there was something after Denver. I couldn't remember what. That's
Jerry
why I looked
Rice
it up.
Played for the Broncos.
Yeah, exactly.
Seattle, the Raiders. I mean, like, Jerry Rice played for every damn team
and,
out there.
And Ichiro Suzuki played for the Marlins. Didn't even know they were a major league franchise.
Team.
It's expired.
Emmitt Smith was a Cardinal for a hot minute too.
But for reference, both next two opponents after this week, the Chiefs opponents both played last night. How'd they do? They both lost.
Yeah, I mean,
Caleb Williams marched his team down. Jaden Daniels fumbles a snap late in the fourth quarter. Horrible conditions. No excuses. We played football in the rain if we're professionals.
Yep. Got to hold on to the ball.
Didn't hold on to the ball at the very end. I don't know if that went to Bill or if that went to Daniels for that fumble.
I think it went to Daniels.
Yeah, it should. He fumbled the game away, and Caleb Williams took advantage. Caleb Williams looked good last night. 252. Willed his team to win. Got the win. The Bears beat the Washington Commanders, who played the Chiefs in 2 weeks. The Bills lose to the Atlanta Falcons, who play the Chiefs in 3 weeks, and we're about to have that game again against the Buffalo Bills where, all right, Jim, number one seed's on the line.
It will be. 100%. 100% will be on the line, right? Because here we go. This is the league, and this is what happens. You want your best teams playing when it matters 100%. Most and the games that matter the most.
And correct me if I'm wrong. That's a 325 game.
It is,
CBS,
of course, CBS.
Rome,
it's same
Jim
thing
Vance.
Every year in Rome. Buffalo. You know, it's the same Jim song Vance, and dance, and then we'll see you later in the year for the championship game here in Kansas City.
Here we go again, Jim. Yeah. The one seed's on the line. It's Allen Mahomes. You can't make this up. Because you've seen it for 6 years.
No, because it happens every year, Jim. That's exactly why. No, they're coming to Kansas City this weekend. They're in for the Raider game. So you'll have Romo and Nance calling the game and whatnot. Look out, Jim!
They got a nooner this week,
too? They got a nooner this week, too. They're thrilled about it, I'm sure.
No doubt. Jim Nance, I got my home by six on that private jet.
Yeah, exactly right. That private jet back to Houston, man. Get down there and get your dinner on, man. Go to the original Ninfas, Jim.
Micah in Denver says if the library starts playing music, I'm leaving. LOL.
See you later.
Yeah, hey, easy on the voice. Easy on the voice. Hey, guys, I don't know if you know this or not. Halloween is, 2 weeks from this Friday?
Wow.
Spooky season in the NFL. So the library gets a scary theme. Better ghost story. Patrick Swayze? Just kidding. better ghost story. Meaning these people don't get recognition that they should. Benito on the defensive line or Burns on the defensive line?
Well, for me, it's Burns because it's New York. And how you are a ghost in New York is crazy to me. But nobody's talking about Brian Burns.
Everyone's talking about how loud your voice is in the library.
I don't care.
Well, it's a group thing.
Get bent.
I would say Nick Benito because I think people probably didn't even know his name till last year.
dyslexic people call him Burrito.
But how many people knew Brian Burns' name before he came to New York, too?
Yeah, I guess I'm not a good judge of that.
No, you're not.
No, that's right.
I know all these guys. I have the Athlon magazines, and I save them year by year in plastic wrap.
Sir, the voice is very loud.
Binkley's like, you do?
Binkley is
jealous. Do you have the 87 edition? It's missing that for my collection.
We got to talk about Binkley after the library.
Binkley's face on the library says, do not let this man in. And he's had multiple fake IDs.
That guy's an idiot, man.
Hey, what's up? It's Bay Jinkley. Doesn't work that way.
Bay Jinkley.
No. You know, he used to go by Pay Dirt when he would call before he became an employee,
pay
right?
Dirt.
Pay Dirt, yeah.
Let's go.
You're going to have to pay for your voice volume here shortly. Scarier story. Mahomes and the Chiefs, or Daniel Jones and the Colts are actually doing it?
Scarier would be Jones, because it's like not believable. But Mahomes is doing it. I'm not scared. We knew he would do this. At least I did. So, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I guess I'll take the perspective of the league. And scary isn't even enough of an adjective. It's terrifying what Mahomes and the Chiefs are about to do to people. So, I'll go Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Extremely, extremely no recognition to the rules. You know, the Chiefs didn't have any penalties because they pay the refs. And you guys don't get any penalties because I pay you to be in the library because the segment sucks. Best young monster story. Drake May, or Jackson Dart?
That's a tough one. But both have had dramatic changes of the franchise.
These are very, very popular books right now. They have a 2-day checkout, 100 pages.
Yeah.
Very short story so far. That's a good analogy.
I'm going to go Drake May for now because it's been a little bit longer than Jackson Dart.
Yeah. What Drake May's doing right now is, I love Drake May.
I mean, they're in first place.
Yeah.
I love that combination. We loved it when he got hired up there, Vrabel. Vrabel and May. I mean, it was like, I thought that was a really nice combination.
Yep.
It's like, you know, peanut butter and chocolate.
It's like library and quiet voices. Better thriller story. You know, thriller. Not scary, but fun and intense. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
It's Bucks. They're more fun. I mean, their coach is more intense than Pittsburgh. Their quarterback's not.
Yeah.
It's a complete opposite.
In
Tampa, you got that Todd Bowles guy who I don't even know if he speaks. And then you got Baker Mayfield. Same thing in Pittsburgh. You got a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, who I actually like now because I haven't heard from him all year.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, seriously, I haven't heard from Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what he's doing. It's great. It's refreshing. And then you've got a boisterous coach, obviously, in Mike Tomlin. So I'm going to go with Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa for sure. Absolutely.
Bigger horror story. Horror. H-O-R-R-O-R. Miami or Cleveland?
I think it's Cleveland based on the quarterback situation there. You know? I mean, Miami's really bad, and I think Tua is out before. I think Mike McDaniel is out now in Miami. I think it's got to go to Cleveland, though. You traded your quarterback. You got a coach in your division, like, clowning you for trading your quarterback. You picked, you know, this Dylan Gabriel who stinks. You had four quarterbacks. The only one anybody wants to see is picking his nose. Ooh. Oh, wait, that was Kirk Cousins the other night. I'm sorry, wrong guy. Trevor Lawrence. I'm sorry. Well, Kirk Cousins, I think, picked his nose, too.
I was going to say, doesn't that also happen?
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins did.
Sorry.
And so, but Cleveland's just a mess. It's a joke.
I was going to say Miami because they paid their quarterback, but Cleveland's paid a quarterback, too, that hasn't played for them in over a year.
They're paying eight quarterbacks this year. There are eight players that are getting paid at the quarterback position by the Cleveland Browns this year.
Yeah, well, there's eight fines for you at the library front desk on your way out for excessive voice volume. And Mac, you'll have to pick up that tab. Veterans like Bob don't do
shoot.
That. They just keep walking.
Come on, Bob.
That's right.
Yeah. Help me out, Bob.
Peace out.
Welcome to the real world. Bigger nightmare. This could be tough. Tennessee Titans or the New York Jets?
It's Jets. It's not even close.
They still have their coach.
Yeah, they still don't have a win. I mean, that coach is overmatched. I mean, it's bad. I mean, this is Jim Tomsula 2.0. Even worse, maybe.
It's like watching those kids come to the library and play Risk for the first time.
Yeah, in Tennessee, at least I can go, Cam Ward might be something. I like the defensive line. I don't know what I'm saying about New York and the Jets. Aaron Glenn sucks. They don't have a quarterback. Their defense is terrible. One takeaway. Yeah, Jets.
They had negative 10 yards passing a game.
Dude, what are we doing?
All right, your voices are too loud. Library's closed. That is the Likens Library on a Tuesday. One of those is interesting, and I don't know which one's more interesting. The fact that you guys debated about Drake May and Jackson Dart, like, that's where we are in Jackson Dart.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May's done it, right? Yeah. He beat Buffalo.
Right.
Can't ask for more than that. They're number one in the AFC East.
Yep.
Yeah. Right? Yep. And I think you two, at least, I'm the clown that said the AFC West was over after week three. You guys were the ones to say, hey, I think New England could win this division.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't that far of a stretch now, because didn't they beat Buffalo in Buffalo?
Yeah, yes, they did. Okay. And now they've got Buffalo coming. And New England's schedule the rest of the way, might as well be playing JV Olathe East teams.
I was about to say, their next three games are Titans, Browns, and then the Falcons, who we just saw be okay. But it's at home. But Titans and Browns, your next 2 weeks, man. So,
and we'll talk about that Titans game, because there is, I mean, irony written all over that.
Oh, it's going to be so good this weekend.
Yes.
I mean,
I was
so
on the
good golf
course yesterday, and as soon as we get that information about Callahan getting fired, I'm like, Bob fires off one. He's like, man, Callahan's fired. Look at this. And I was like, and now Vrabel, the week of, who's rolling in New England, got everybody believing in New England, what Tennessee had, 10 years ago, and he had them as number one seed or whatever it was. And now all of a sudden he goes back in there and goes, The dude from The Last Dance.
Yeah, it's amazing the difference like a coach and a quarterback make. You have to have that right guy, that right fit, that right coach for your organization.
No doubt.
Vrabel's perfect for New England. He may be there longer than Bill Belichick by the time it's all said and done, if he wants to be there, because they're out of the gate fast right now. They're going to be 6-2.
And
right,
his quarterback is young.
And his quarterback's very young. I mean, this could be Brady Belichick 2.0 from a New England perspective. With the way things are going, the best part about that Tennessee game for me is that they fired that Callahan guy with four wins. Vrabel got fired. They replaced him with Callahan. Vrabel has four wins this year. Callahan had four wins in his entire career in Tennessee. That's the guy they fired Vrabel for.
It's crazy.
Sports Talk 96.5 The Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up on the other side, it's a Tuesday. It's a tough Tuesday for some. We dive into it on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trent McDuffie, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
My Mary Mo song. She don't like the meat, but she sure likes the bone. I don't know why that song always reminds me of Dumb and Dumber. Every time I hear that song. Who is Dumb and Dumber in the NFL?
Well, the Jets. I think it's Aaron Glenn and Justin Fields.
That's tough.
It could be Mike McDaniel and Tua.
That's probably leader.
Could be the duo in Buffalo right now. Fake glasses and, you know.
Hell of a fashion statement.
I mean, come on. You're an NFL football coach. Imagine Andy Reid putting on a fake mustache or
ridiculous
fake glasses. I mean, be who you are. That right there is why that guy is ass as a coach. He's a fraud. You're wearing fake glasses on the sidelines.
The flat bill for Shanahan or the glasses for McDermott?
Oh, the flat bill is much better than, okay. I mean, yeah. I don't know. You don't need glasses. I mean, there's no reason to use fake glasses. Remember when we were kids, you'd make fun of kids with the glasses, right? You call them four eyes, right? Geek and things like that. Oh, you're wearing glasses. Now these people are out here wearing glasses as fashion statements, and you're an NFL head football coach. I mean, come on, man.
You need to go see my friends over at Dury Vision, where you don't need hipster glasses.
But it's stupid. It really is. It's a dumb look. It makes no sense whatsoever. And for an NFL coach to be doing that on the sidelines, man, that tells me all I need to know about that guy. That's why they can't get over the hump. They got a fraud as a head coach, and they're wearing fake glasses.
Mac, I would do anything if you came in tomorrow with the clear glasses.
Yes,
oh my god. So ridiculous.
I should now.
You probably have a pair, don't you?
No.
I mean, I'm sure you can get something like CVS or like Target or something like that.
Yeah, you
can
roll it
off,
you know, anywhere and get them. Yeah. I mean, come on. God, that was so fake.
they were like translucent too, or like white. It was like, what are you doing?
They look like women's glasses.
Terrible.
They look like the cashier at the store, man.
He looked like he had just spent all night at 13th Ghost House, where you can only see the ghosts with those certain glasses.
BBL Stinky.
What was her name? Shannon Elizabeth? The foreign exchange student from American Pie, Nadia.
Yeah.
What a queen. Anyways, it is a tough Tuesday. Bob, your name's at the top of the list. Start us off.
Well, I'm going to start it off with Miami, and it's Tua to me. I think, you know, just kind of reading around yesterday and reading the room about this stuff, I feel like Tua's going to be the odd man out down there. There was a report from, it was either Ian Rappaport or one of the other short insiders that the NFL employs, and they had the comment of the owner, Stephen Ross, really likes Mike McDaniel and wants it to work with Mike McDaniel. And I hear those comments, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, he just threw his quarterback under the bus, too, did Mike McDaniel yesterday. You know, Tua's out there on Sunday bitching about his players not showing up, the players-only meetings, questioning the leadership of the team and all this kind of stuff. And Mike McDaniel's like, I'm the only guy who's ever looked at you in a loving way, Tua, from a football perspective, and you're out here throwing me under the bus? So I think Tua's having a tough Tuesday right now. He can't figure things out down there. Basically, the team is decimated around him. The head coach is kind of, you know, a guy that may be on the firing lines. I just think Tua is the guy that they move on from first before they move on from Mike McDaniel. If you believe in your coach and you think he's a good football coach and you're the owner of that franchise, then go out there and get him a quarterback that he can work with, because this isn't the guy right now, Tua.
Well, I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys, and then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late. Guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
I mean, you are an average.
You're saying some player.
You're an average quarterback, and you're out there taking, you know, shots at your own teammates by not showing up to meetings and throwing them out there and throwing them under the bus. How are you going to get the respect back inside that locker room after just destroying your entire team in front of the media on Sunday after the game? There was no place for that. If you are a leader of a football team like the quarterback is supposed to be, you ever hear Patrick Mahomes blame somebody else for anything? It's always his fault. I think he even took the blame for Kadarius Toney lining up offsides.
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he's as I was. And,
what?
You know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers. That was kind of the extent of it.
Mm-hmm. Sweet pants, geek. My tough Tuesday goes to the Raiders. Look, you beat the Titans. Probably feeling really good about yourself. That's about to come to a screech halt because EGE is coming back. Everybody going to eat is Rashee Rice, and that kid is starving. And that kid is going to get a heavy dose of Patrick Mahomes' right arm in his direction. We will dive into more of what we have for expectations, but my expectations are good luck, Raiders. You have a tough Tuesday because Tennessee ain't them. Like, you're so bad, that was enough. That's it. We're done. We can't lose to this team. Geno Smith's terrible. Yet here we are, losing to this Raiders team. Okay, well, welcome to Kansas City. You're 11.5-point favorites, and I'm really thinking about hanging 11.5 with the Chiefs because I really think this team is ready for a statement type of game. I don't know if that was last week. I don't know if that was the statement game against Detroit, going 30-17, winning, putting the world on notice. But it's a tough Tuesday for those Las Vegas Raiders because Kansas City is now healthy. Kansas City now has a full arsenal in their wide receiver core. Patrick Mahomes is the leader in the clubhouse for the MVP. Chiefs are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. Chiefs are the favorite to win the AFC. By the way, they're 3-3, and the only way they get above 500 is kicking the absolute dog piss out of the Las Vegas Raiders. Tough Tuesday to be a Las Vegas Raider.
Well, and you know, you look at that game against Detroit. Is that the best regular season win so far this year by any team in the NFL?
Buffalo coming back 15 in 3 minutes or whatever in week one.
New England beating Buffalo 2 weeks ago.
Maybe New England beating Buffalo.
Yeah. Atlanta winning that game. Chicago last night winning on the road in Washington in bad conditions.
That game sucks. Not for
Chicago, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. No, definitely does not suck.
No, for them. But I'm talking about biggest win. Right. The Chiefs dominated from basically
all three phases.
Yeah, all three phases. Offense, defense, special teams. Saved the first 10 minutes where they only gave up a field goal, which is still a big moment that they only gave up three. You know, on that entire drive. I mean, that's as impressive a win as I've seen all year long, where somebody has truly just dominated another good opponent, too. They didn't go out there and put 50 up against the Jets or something like that. They went out there and dominated what a lot of people thought was a really good, really good football team in Detroit. People peddling that as a potential Super Bowl matchup now.
I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Sign me up. I'll stick in the division. The Broncos are going to lose two of their next three games. They looked like trash against the worst team, in my opinion, in the league, in the New York Jets. They scored 13. I don't think it's close either, honestly. Yeah. They scored 13 points. They allowed negative 10 passing yards. They won the game by two against the worst team in football. What?
I don't know. I don't like London games.
London's weird.
But this year they've been all competitive games. They've been really good games this year. But,
I mean, a lot of people used excuses for the Chiefs when they traveled. Remember?
Oh, I didn't, but other people did,
I'm not saying you. But I'm saying there are people that come on this show and people that are 100% involved around this media and this team. Well, the travel conditions and the field and all this stuff. It's like, okay, well.
London's a different beast, though. It's double the amount of flight to Brazil than it is to London. They've got those big-time stadiums over there where they're ready for all of this kind of stuff.
And I'm not disagreeing. I think Denver has issues. But I will say I will give them the benefit of the doubt that is, if they play that game in the Meadowlands or they play that game in Mile High or whatever they call that these days, totally different score. Maybe. In my personal opinion. Because negative 10 points or negative 10 passing yards is a big outlier. And the fact that you only had 13 points is tough.
Yeah, but you're not putting up points if you're the Denver. Like, they haven't put up points a lot this year. I mean, they're winning games like 18-17, 13-10. I mean, from an offensive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Standpoint, I'm not buying them. And you know I like Bo Nix, but I'm not impressed with what he's doing his sophomore campaign.
So they've got the Giants this week.
Yeah, the Giants this week, and they got the Cowboys, and they got the Texans. I think they're going to lose two of the next three of those games. They might kick the crap, glad I caught myself there, against of the Giants. But the two after that, I think they could lose those games against the Texans and the Cowboys. I also think that Eagles win, I know everyone was super stoked about that. It was a good call from you on covering them, on covering against the Eagles. But, like, were you impressed with them?
No.
Were you impressed in that game?
I'm not impressed with Denver at all. Denver
does
nothing.
That game.
Yeah.
No, Philadelphia looked really bad, and Denver took advantage of a couple of mistakes in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, Broncos going to have some tough Tuesdays ahead.
Okay. I hope you're right about that, because I think the Giants will give them a game up in Denver, right? I think the Giants will play them tough. I think the Giants could probably go in there and win, because I'm just not impressed with what I've saw at all from Denver so far this year. They're beating teams that probably aren't as good as the teams that the Chiefs are facing at this point in time.
Worthy Brown and Rice and expectations all to type in on the next side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I know that I'm hard.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.